All right. Well, I've been put on the spot, haven't I? So the back of these young folks singing. What a blessing. I am sort of torn between two speaking this morning at the youth service with all this gray hair. And the only place that we could find to put our camper this week was at a campground where you had to be 55 years or older. I had to pull my ID out and prove I was 55 years or older. And then I'm coming to preach at a youth meeting. Well, that is something, isn't it? Of course, I'm 62, but most folks think I'm still 61, so I'm not doing too bad. But we have looked forward to coming and being back here at Fletcher and praying that the Lord will speak to our hearts. I was thinking while the young people were singing, my heart was saddened. I am originally from West Virginia, and I was noticing the news said that Huntington, West Virginia had 9 times the national rate of death caused by drug overdose in America. And in one day recently, they had 28 deaths. Think about that. In one city, a little city, Huntington, West Virginia. And I thought and pondered, and I said, well, you know, if you take God out of the schools and out of the hearts of young people and take away their reason for being here, it doesn't leave much. But it's such a thrill, though, to come to the house of the Lord and see all these young people up here singing. And I'll tell you, when their hearts stay full, of course, the one fellow right here, somebody needs to tell him that you don't act like that in the First Baptist Church. But at any rate, when your heart gets full of the Lord, it doesn't leave room for all that other stuff that's so damaging. And so let's pray for these young people. A lot of times we'll wait until something bad happens and then we'll start praying. But while they're up here in the choir, you start praying for them now so you won't get the bad news that something's happened. And God will sustain them. Do you have that? You don't? Well, come ahead and I'll try to remember them. It's been a while. I'm getting old. Some of you are looking at me like, you don't even know what old is. I have found out how to stay young, though, Brother Roy. I found out how to stay young. If you'll eat right, exercise right, and sleep right, and lie about your age, you'll stay young.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried, was a steady old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. As loudly I cried, ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, there's the church, thus sailing along. All on board her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, there's Jesus, ever ready to hear. Caught by whirl of distress as I cried out in fear. Take me on board, please take me on board. as I cried out in fear. The good captain, he commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. Now I'm happy today, all my sins washed away. In the blood of my Jesus, and now I can say, bless my Lord, oh bless my Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh soul sinking down, he sends merciless waves. The strong arm of my Jesus, why he's mighty to save. Won't you trust him right now? No longer delay. Board this old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way.
Be preaching along that line this morning, so that worked in good, didn't it? I hope this is my water. I don't believe in social drinking, so I'll take a chance on it. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, for a few moments and turn to Luke chapter number 19. We'll read a familiar passage of Scripture, verse 1 through verse 10. This week's time that we have with you, I'm going to emphasize the word little in every service. I like that song that says little is much when God is in it. And I found out that God always starts with little. If you're going to find Him, you'll find Him in the little places, little people. If He's ever going to do something big or great. And it is here we're going to look at a little sinner by the name of Zacchaeus, and we're going to notice how that even a little sinner is much if God's want to is in him. And we're going to read this text and realize that Zacchaeus wanted what Jesus wanted. And Jesus wanted what Zacchaeus wanted. And when you want what Jesus wants, and He wants what you want, big things are going to happen. The Bible said, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, let's read these verses, and we want to emphasize this matter of the want to that is in Zacchaeus, though he was little, and God did something big. Verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. That means he worked for the IRS. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little. There's our word. He was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. Old Testament principle. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I begin my thoughts by simply asking a question? Do you want what the Lord wants for your life? If you do, then he wants what you want. And if you both want the same thing, God is able to do great things. Now let's notice Zacchaeus. First of all, I want to point out to you that Zacchaeus is a sinner. I mean by that, he is lost. I'm not going by what the religious folks said in verse number 7. Religious folks always have an opinion. But I'm going by what Jesus said in verse number 10. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not defending Zacchaeus. He's not arguing on his account and saying, oh, well, he's not as bad as some folks are. He simply says, well, you call him a sinner. I just want you to know that's the reason why I'm here. It is because that he is lost. By the way, that's the whole reason that Jesus came into this world, is because we were lost. He came to save us. And Zacchaeus is a sinner on every level. He is lost on every level. I understand that he is the son of Abraham, the Bible tells us. But yet he is lost. He is an Israelite, but he is lost. He's rich also, but he is lost. I cannot tell that he has any physical needs as far as sickness is concerned, but though he is healthy, he is still lost. He is not blind, he is not lame, he is not deaf, but he is lost. And when we come to Zacchaeus in this text, what we realize is that he's lost in spirit, he is lost in body, he is lost in soul, he is lost in time, and he's in danger of being lost for all eternity. In other words, he's in the worst of conditions because he is lost. You know, man, when we look at one another, we see each other in classes. You know, we hear this during the election year, where you're either in the middle class, low class, or maybe you're in the high class. We measure horizontally as to the classes in which people are in, educationally, financially, whatever that may be. But God doesn't measure horizontally. He does not see men horizontally. He sees them vertically or perpendicularly. In other words, there's only two sides in God's sight. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either, as was sung today, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. You are either a sheep or you are a goat. You are either lined up on the left or you are lined up on the right. This is how God looks at all humanity. And while you're sitting here this morning, it could be that you are saved. And if you are, hallelujah, you're going to heaven. But you may be sitting here and you may be like Zacchaeus. You may be healthy. You may not be sick. You may be all right financially. You may even be religious. But you are lost. And it is of the worst condition to be lost no matter where you're at. He is lost, but yet he's lost in Jericho. Jericho is down near the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on earth. And Jericho, of course, there was a curse placed upon Jericho by Joshua even when it was being rebuilt. And here we have him in this far-off town in a very low place. And he's lost. He is lost in Jericho. But yet, when I think about this matter of being lost, it really doesn't make any difference where you're at. If you're lost, it's a bad place to be. You could be in California lost, that's a bad place to be. You could be in Florida lost, of course, that's, you wouldn't want to be there during the storm, but that's a bad place to be. You could be in Fletcher, North Carolina, and if you're lost, that's a bad place to be. He's in the worst of conditions because he's in Jericho, but he is lost. But isn't it amazing that when Jesus comes to Jericho, he takes the worst place and the worst condition in Zacchaeus' life and turns it into the best place and the best of conditions. Because Jesus would come, and understand, Jesus is on his last trip. He's headed back to Jerusalem, and then he's going to Calvary. But it is not by mistake that he is going through Jericho, because there's someone in Jericho that is lost, who wants to be saved, and he's going there to save him. Makes no difference where the place is, honey. When there's someone there that is lost, that wants to be saved, he will pass. And aren't you glad he came by your way? He came by your town. He came into your condition. But isn't it amazing that the worst of conditions and places in which you were when you were lost becomes your greatest testimony and the thing that you rejoice over most? I preached here last year and maybe shared with you a little bit about my testimony, and I'll not go into that. But I came from West Virginia through the providence of God, and I was heard the gospel on three accounts, and I was walking down this little alley between 46th and 47th Street, Clark and Train. You don't get on that little alley unless you have to. Just a few houses down through there, and it's the back doors of every one of those houses. But it was walking down that little alley that as I was lost, that the Lord showed up. I could take you, I know there's no virtue in it, but I could take you within feet of where the Lord spoke to my heart and saved me. Now, I hope you're not from Cleveland, but I want to say to you, when I had to go to Cleveland, I didn't want to go. And I didn't like Cleveland while I was there. And when I got out of school, I got out of Cleveland. But yet, when I testify, the most precious spot on earth, and I've been many places as I've traveled and preaching the gospel. I've been many wonderful and beautiful places in this world, but I'm going to tell you, there is no place so precious to me than a little old spot in a little old alley in the midst of a dumpy city called Cleveland, Ohio. God took the worst of conditions and he made them the best of conditions for Zacchaeus here in Jericho. And he did the same for you. And he did the same. Can you remember the condition that you were in when Jesus came to your Jericho? He is a sinner and he is lost. But Jesus came to him. Now, the second thing that I would share with you is not only he a sinner and he's lost. I'm talking about how that Zacchaeus wants what Jesus wants. We'll get to that. He is a sinner and he is lost. But I want you to notice also how the Scripture says to us that he is small or he is little. Look back in verse number 3. The Bible said he was little. The last five words in that verse, he was little of stature. He was very small. Now I'm thinking of this in relationship to this context here. Zacchaeus is small in several ways. First of all, he's little in stature, or as we would say, he's little physically. He's little in nature. And of course, who he is going to hinder him from seeing the one that he needs to see. He's a short fella, and I can kind of relate to that. Somebody said, well, how tall are you? I said, well, everybody outgrows me, but I'm 5'7" and 3/4", and I'm not giving up a fraction. I'm sorry. But Zacchaeus is small, and he is little physically. His nature, let me just say it this way, it is the very nature, the very physical makeup of Zacchaeus that is a wall between him and the Christ that he needs to see. And there is a smallness in humanity when it comes to the need of getting to God. It seems as though that we are our great hindrances. Our very makeup, our very nature that was handed down of Adam keeps us from being able to rise above and to lift ourselves out of this lostness or to get to the one and the only one who could save us. We are our greatest hindrances in this manner of salvation. A man is lost. A man is unsaved, a man is going to hell because of his very innate nature that keeps him from coming to Christ. Left to yourself, you have only one direction, and that is toward hell. Your nature works against you. A sinner's nature works against him, does it not? He's small in nature. He cannot rise. You cannot rise above yourself. Not only is he small as far as physically is concerned, he's small socially. He's not only hindering himself, he's not only stopping himself just by the natural aspect of it, of his nature, but all of those that are around him socially, all of those other folks in Jericho, the moment that he tries to get to Christ, they are the press. They are the crowd. They become the wall between him and Christ. And can I say to you, if it's not only yourself that will keep you from Jesus because you're too small, but let me tell you something, this old world is so big it rises up and it stands also as a curtain between you so that you cannot see Christ. The very temptations of this world, as John talks about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the very dwellings of this old world, are those things that would ricochet us and reflect us and cause us to look in other directions, because we can't look over this world and we can't see through all the things. And you understand this, that everything this world that is of the spirit of this world, everything that this world has in spirit is used to keep you from Christ. To shade you from Christ. And honey, you and I, we are too small to overcome the press that stands between us. And that's the reason why there are these deaths because of drugs. That's the reason why there's so many that are alcoholics. That's the reason why there's so much crime. This whole world has so much to offer, so much to pull us, so much to drag us, so much to keep us from Christ. and it is constantly working to prevent us from getting to Him. Zacchaeus cannot see Jesus because of himself, but he cannot see Jesus because of the world and how it stands between him and Christ. Everywhere. Something being an influence, something being a force in our lives, something stopping us, trying to keep us from Christ. He's small, I say to you. He's not only a sinner and lost, but he is small and he is little physically and socially and spiritually. He has a great need. He has a great need, and he senses that great need, but he cannot fulfill that great need. He cannot take care of that great need because he has not the ability. If you're lost, you will remain lost. If it's up to you, if it's up to society, if it is up to this world, if it's up to the plans and programs of man, you will die lost. If it's up to religion, religion will blind you from Christ. You will die lost. He was chief, he was rich, but he could not for the press. He could not. Someone would say, well now, preacher, what is the hope for Zacchaeus if he is so lost and so little? What is the hope? The same hope that you have and the same hope that I have. You see, what happens to Zacchaeus is the same thing that God does for you and he does for me. Because what you will find is when you are ready for Him, He's going to be ready for you. When you're looking for Him, you'll find out, as Zacchaeus did, He's been looking for you. And hey, sinner, if you ever want Him, you're going to find out He's been wanting you. And all the barriers will give way before the man who has made up his mind he wants Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ will dissolve all of those forces that stand between you and Him so that you can come to Christ. Let me word it this way. Let me say it this way. In other words, this little lost man by the name of Zacchaeus, when Jesus shows up, what he does is he sets him up so that they can come together. Isn't that true in all of our lives? That as you look back, you realize that he set you up so that you could hear the gospel. He set you up so that you could be convicted by the Holy Ghost. He set you up so that you could be saved. He comes by purpose through Jericho, and he has set him up. You say, well, how has he set him up? Well, if you'll notice in verse number 4, the Bible said he ran before to climb up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, my question is, how does he know anything about him? Well, if you'll go back up into chapter number 18, you'll find in verse 33 through 43 that Jesus was just in Zacchaeus in Jericho a little before. And while he was there, he healed the man of his blindness. And verse 43 said, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This is in Jericho. You may have heard this emphasize, but I say to you again this morning that when one person gets saved, there's just something about that person who has gotten saved that they want to tell somebody else that they are saved. And I cannot help but believe that when Jesus had been in Jericho, he healed many folks there prior to this account. And Zacchaeus is an IRS man. He is a tax collector. A publican. And don't you know, as a result of that, he often confronts or comes into the presence of those who had a miracle performed in their lives. A blind man who could not pay taxes because he had no ability to work, but all of a sudden he shows up to pay taxes because now he has a job. And Zacchaeus knows about this family, and don't you know, he asks the question, "Hey, I've known you for years, how is it you're able to see?" And he said, "Oh, it's so simple. Jesus, a man by the name of Jesus, came through here a while back, and he gave me the ability to see." Can you not understand? Those who were lame came to him to pay their taxes. I'm saying he set him up, first of all, with a testimony. Because if you're saved this morning, if you're saved, someone that God already saved was used as an instrument in your life so that you could be saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for all the folks that have been saved that God can use to save somebody else? It's a testimony. It's a testimony. But he not only gives him a testimony, but did you notice that the scripture said also in verse number 4 that he ran and he climbed up into a what? What was it? A sycamore tree. Wonder why that sycamore tree was there. Do you think it was just by accident there was a sycamore tree there? No, 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 no. What is happening? Zacchaeus within himself has no power to see Christ. And so he comes to that point that in and of himself there is no hope. And then as far as the society around him, they're not going to help him to see Christ. But all of a sudden there's a tree. And that tree stands there so inviting. That tree stands there so approachable. And it's almost like that tree is speaking to little old Zacchaeus and saying, "Hey, Zach, come on up here. If you'll get up here, you'll be able to see Jesus from the tree." Now, if you'll get that application, I won't have to preach that. But did you know? Did you know that for any person and every person that ever gets saved, no matter where you're at when you get saved, what God does is He puts a tree close by. You say, "Well, I didn't see no tree where I was at." Then you didn't get saved. You say, "Well, what kind of tree are you talking about? A sycamore tree?" No, I'm not talking about a sycamore tree nor an olive tree or any kind of tree. I'm talking about a tree called Calvary. I was a sinner and I was lost, but I'm going to tell you, there was a cross that was so close by, that was so inviting and so approachable, saying, "Come, come, come to this tree, and from this tree you can see Christ." Hallelujah. And I don't know which one came first, the cross or Christ, but I'm going to tell you, they came together just in time. God led me to a tree, and from a tree I saw Jesus. Hallelujah. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my sin did what? Roll away. Aren't you glad Jesus set you up with a cross? He put a tree where you were at so that you could come to Him. I say to you, Zacchaeus is a sinner. He's lost. He's small. He's little. But God has set him up to be saved. And that is my last thought. I want to say to you that lastly, Zacchaeus is saved. And there's only one reason why he's saved. Now, I'm not the judge of a man's salvation. I'm saying he's saved because Jesus said that he was. And he emphasized to him in verse 9, "This day is salvation come." He said, "Zacchaeus, the biggest deal that you've ever had is fixing to happen. I have come to do the biggest thing that you could ever experience in your whole world or life. I came to save you." And if you are saved this morning, wouldn't we all have to stand and testify and say, have to say it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Zacchaeus now is saved. S-A-V-E-D. And honey, there's only one kind of salvation, and that is a great salvation. You say, well, what kind of salvation is it? It's God. Well, if you read down through the text, I'll not do that at this time. You can read it when you get home, but I would suggest to you that this salvation is so great that it touched his feet and his hands, because it made him climb a tree and run down the tree. This salvation is so great that it touched his eyes. He began looking at Jesus. This salvation is so great that it touched his heart. He wanted Jesus to go home with. And this salvation is so great, and here's one of the reasons why I know that he must have really got saved, is because it touched his billfold. Did you notice what he said? He said, if I've done anybody wrong, I'm going to pay them back. I'll give them back fourfold. And he said, besides that, I'm going to give half of what. That's what he said the day he got saved. I don't know what happened after that. He said, I'm going to take a half of everything I've got, and I'm going to give to feed the poor, and if I've done anything wrong, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament commandment, and I'm going to give it back fourfold. Wow, that's a great salvation. It seems to me like he got saved all over. But honey, that's what salvation does. It saves you all over. And that is why it's such a great salvation. I heard about an old country boy in Tennessee that had never been out of his county. And they invited him, a family did, to go out west. And they said, we want you to go with us. And he agreed to do so. The first place they went to was the Grand Canyon. And of course, if you've been to the Grand Canyon, it's a mile deep and over a mile across and so many miles in that direction and so many miles in that direction. They said that old country boy hadn't been nowhere. He walked up as close as he could. And he looked down, then he looked this way, he looked that way, and he looked across. He milked his chin and his beard and shook his head, and he said, boys, something big happened here. Well, I'm here to tell you, I realized, and I've realized more every day, that when I got saved, something big happened. The Lord run sin out, run the devil out, the Holy Ghost came in. One of the greatest reasons why I know that I am saved, I knew nothing about the Scriptures. All I had heard was the pure gospel, nothing beyond that. But the day God saved me, as a 14-year-old boy, there was a peace that passeth all understanding that took over in my heart, and I could not explain it. I didn't know it came along with salvation. But thank God, when I lay down that night, I lay down as if I was a newborn babe with the weight of the world off of my shoulders. Why? Because I had a big salvation. A salvation so big that it wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. A salvation so big that now I got a mansion in heaven. A salvation so big that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. A salvation so big that it forgave all of my sins. Hallelujah. Thank God for a great salvation for a sinner like Zacchaeus and a sinner like me. Oh, he is a sinner. He is small, but thank God now he is saved. But here's the question I want to ask you in this closing of this thought. Why is it? I don't know how many people were lost in Jericho the day Jesus came through. But as far as is listed in Scripture, Zacchaeus is the only one that gets saved. Somebody said, well, how come Zacchaeus is the only one to get saved? Can I tell you why? He wanted to. Hallelujah. What I'm emphasizing to you is that a little sinner as much, even a little sinner as much, when God's want to is in him. And what I noticed in this Scripture as I read down through it is I noticed that Zacchaeus was wanting what Jesus wanted. Well, that's where it all begins. If you want big things to happen, want what Jesus wants. Look down through those verses. If you look in verse number 3, talks about Zacchaeus and said, and he sought. He sought. If you go back up to verse number 10, the Bible said the Son of Man came to seek. Did you know in the Greek that that word sought and that word seek was the same thing? What he sought, Jesus was seeking. He's looking after the same thing. I notice, if you will, in verse number 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see. And then in verse number 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw. Did you know in the Greek the word see there and the word saw, different from the other two that I mentioned to you, are the same word? What he came to see, Jesus saw. Wanted the same thing to me like Zacchaeus. It's wanting the same thing Jesus wanted. Oh, hallelujah, great things are going to happen when you want what he wants, and he wants what you want. Look, if you will, in verse number 5 again. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. If you look in verse 6, the first part, the Bible said, and he made haste. Jesus said, I want you to come down. Hurry up. And Zacchaeus said, I want to come down, and I'm hurrying up. They both wanted the same thing. And then he said to him, for I must abide at thy house. And verse 6, the latter part said, Jesus said, I won't go home with you. Look what Zacchaeus said in verse 6. The Bible said, and he received him joyfully. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'd like to go home with you. He said, I'd sure like for you to go home with me. Woo! They are wanting the same thing. Here's what I'm emphasizing. Jesus is wanting to see Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is wanting to see Jesus. Jesus is wanting to go home with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is wanting to go home with Jesus. Jesus is wanting to do it in a hurry. And Zacchaeus wants it done in a hurry. Zacchaeus wants to get right. And Jesus wants him to get right. Zacchaeus wants to be saved, and Jesus wants him to be saved. Sounds to me like they was both wanting the same thing. When you want what he wants, not only in this matter of salvation, but in everyday living, you say, preacher, how is my life going to turn out? Depends on what you want. Every morning when you wake up, if you'll say, Lord, I want what you want, I guarantee you he'll want what you want. And if you want what he wants and he wants what you want, what you both want, it's going to come to pass, and God is going to do some great things in your life as he did for Zacchaeus when he saved him. He saved him because somebody said, well, how come Jesus just went home with Zacchaeus? Because he wanted him to. Did you know hanging on the cross there were two thieves and only one of them got to go to paradise? Somebody said, how come he got to go? Because he wanted to. Hey, I want to tell you something. You know how many folks are going to be in heaven? All those that want to. Hallelujah. If you want to, you can. If you want to, you can. Because he wants to. And if you want to, he can make that thing happen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'll go a step further than that. I can tell you exactly who's going to be in church tonight. I can tell you everybody's going to be in church right here tonight. You say, well, how would you know that? I'm going to tell you, everybody wants to. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad in this matter of salvation that Zacchaeus wanted what Jesus wanted. And Jesus wanted what Zacchaeus wanted. It is a truth that is borne out throughout the Word of God. Think about it. Elijah came, God came to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I want an Isaac. And Abraham said, Lord, well, I want an Isaac. He said, okay, we'll have one. Hallelujah. He came to Elijah one day, and he said, I want to send some rain. Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I want you to send some rain. Guess what? There was rain. He came to Joshua one day and he said, I want you to cross the Jordan. Joshua said, well, I want to cross the Jordan. Guess what? They crossed the Jordan. because they each wanted. He came to Noah one day and said, I want an ark. Noah said, well, I want an ark. He said, well, let's build one. He came to me one day as a sinner. And he said, I want to save you. And I said, well, Lord, I want to be saved. He said, okay, that's what we'll do. And did you know, not too long after that, he came to me and he said, you know what? I want you to preach. I said, well, you know, I think I'd like to preach. He said, well, get at it. Hallelujah. Huh? Now, I'm no Benny the Hen, if you know what I mean. But I'm just a 19-year-old boy. And a friend that I was going to school with brought a picture, or brought a letter, a Dear John letter. He said, I want to read this to you. I said, what's that all about? He said, my girlfriend's breaking up. And he read that Dear John letter to me, and the more he read, the more I liked. And I said, you got a picture of her? He said, I do. I said, well, let me see it. He wasn't real bright. He brought me the picture, and I looked at it, and the Holy Ghost said to my heart, and I wasn't even thinking about that, and he said, there's your wife. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And I rode up to the mountains of North Carolina. First time I'd ever been in the mountains of North Carolina, to that little old church where she played the piano as an 18-year-old girl. Now, don't ask me what they sang. Don't ask me what they preached. I got no idea. I just wanted to go see what he was pointing out to me. And he said to me, I want you to marry her. I went and looked at her, and I said, oh, I think I want to marry her. He said, okay, let's get married. When you want what he wants, let me word it this way: when you want what Jesus wants, and Jesus wants what you want, all hell can't stop what you both want. It's a settled thing. I went to visit a lady in her 70s. She was alone. Her husband had died. I did not know her. I had never visited her before. And she began to inquire who I was and where I was from. I began to tell her from West Virginia. And she'd say, well, what happened there? And I just brought it on down. She was not saved. She was lost. And finally, I got to that point in which I got saved. Told her about how I got saved. She was sitting in her little recliner, and she leaned over and looked at me real stern, and she said, that is exactly what I want. I said, excuse me? She said, that is exactly what I said, are you telling me you want to be saved? She said, that is exactly what I want. She got out on the floor and called on the name of the Lord and got saved. And I can't tell you how many times she hugged my neck in church and said, preacher, I'm so glad the Lord sent you by on that day so I could get saved. And somebody said, well, how come Zacchaeus? I'll tell you, because he wanted to. Here is my emphasis. Here is my emphasis for the sinner. Here is my emphasis even for the child of God day by day by day. Do you want what he wants for your life? If you want what he wants, then it goes without saying, he wants what you want. And big things can happen in a little sinner's life when he wants what God wants. I say to these young people in closing, you know, you get up graduating from high school, and so often they'll ask and say, well, preacher, what do I do now? Well, I don't have a map for your life or even my own as far as the days ahead. But I do know this much. I can want what he wants. And if you'll do that, he'll take care of everything else. He will want what you want. And as the verse said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Simple question here this morning. Zacchaeus, what do you want? Oh, he said, I want to see Jesus. I want to get to Jesus. I want Jesus to come home with me. I want to be saved. Jesus, what do you want? I want to see Zacchaeus. I want to save Zacchaeus. I want to go home with Zacchaeus. That's what I want. They both wanted the same thing. Let's stand. Could it be that there would be a heart here this morning that would like to come and say, Lord, I'm lost, but I want to be saved. I want to meet you here and now. I want it. I want it. And could it be that there would be a child of God here? That afresh and anew you'd like to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to figure out my days ahead and everything that needs to be done in my life, and I get so confused with it. I want to narrow it down, boil it down to one thing. Lord, I want what you want for my life. Would you afresh and anew like to say that to him? Lord, I want what you want for my life. I'm going to ask my wife if she will just to come and play and maybe sing a verse. Oh, listen, children, God could do some big things in individual hearts there this morning if you just settle it with Him. Because nobody knows best for your life like He does. And if you could just submit it to Him, what a great work He could do. Hey, young folks, do you want what he wants? If you do, he can take care of your tomorrows. If you want what he wants today. Hey, mom and daddy, best thing you can do for your whole family is want what Jesus wants for your life. Don't go through life making those carnal decisions, even those so-called spiritual decisions, as if you know what you need to do. Turn your heart heavenward and say, Lord, I want what you want. I want what you want. While these have taken a moment to come and talk to the Lord, Zacchaeus is saved because he wanted to be saved. A lot of want-tos represented here in this congregation today. But there should be only one want-to that counts. For your life. Ever come to you and said, here's what I want.
I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to
think it was George Beverly Shea. Used to do the singing, the crusades for Billy Graham. He's a young man. Had such a voice that Hollywood wanted him. Offered him a great price, contract. He's struggling between that and what he ought to do for the Lord. Said he went to the piano one day and his mom had set a poem up on that piano. It was this song. He said he sat down, not knowing what he was going to play, and he looked at that, the verses of that poem. He began to put the music to it. And he said it was right then and there that I decided I wanted what Jesus wanted. He said, "Nah, I'm not going with Hollywood. I'm going with Jesus." God used him mightily. All you got to do is just want what... It's, the Christian life is real simple. Just want what he wants.
I believe it was Sister Kyle Rowland who wrote that song, "I Am So Glad God Saves Old Sinners." Little or small, if you want to be saved, He'll save you this morning. If you want a closer walk with Him, I can assure you He wants that walk with you. I pray you want what God wants. What a message. Our men are going to come tonight this evening. We're going to take up a love offering for Brother Dana. So thankful for the Word.